welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ian McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
It's our show. We are talking about when the bright line test could actually save you money. In fact, in this case that we're going to tell you about today, we're going to share a really interesting quirk where these investors will literally save over 50K in tax because of the bright line test. Now, let's just go through the story and listen closely because this is really interesting.
Okay, Tess was living in an owner-occupied property in Auckland. So she owned the house that she lived in, and it was a three-bedroom townhouse. Decided, right, I'm going to buy a new house, so I'm going to turn this property into a rental property. And so, as often happens, goes to an accountant, gets some advice, decide to protect the assets. They were going to sell the property to their look-through company for, at the time, the value was $1.6 million. So house goes from their own name to a look-through company.
And it's worth asking as well, Andrew, why might somebody do this when they're turning their own home into a rental?
Now, this is the old tax rules. Let's say previously the house was worth $1 million when they bought it. The loan on it was $800,000. Now it had gone up to $1.6 million. They wanted to transfer that equity that they had to their new mortgage. What they do is they sell it, borrow the $1.6 million, pay down any potential personal debt.
This boggled my mind when I first learned about this because you're effectively selling your property to yourself. It's held under a different entity, but you ultimately still control the asset, but you do it so you can borrow more against that property.
Yeah. Now, that $1.6 million, that was based on the bank's evaluation. So they'd done an online valuation, come up with a value of $1.6 million, and it was a higher figure than what anyone else had sold on the street for. This was in January 2021.
And then what happened, Andrew, in March 2021? 2 months after they did that.
The tax changes.
Interest deductibility tax changes. And so this property that they owned, even though they might have bought it as a new build, not so much of a good rental property anymore because it's going to be treated as an existing property for tax purposes. So 11 months later, November 2021, they noticed that similar properties are selling for about that $1.7, $1.8 million mark. But they listened to this podcast and thought, well, hang on, let me get this straight. This rental property, maybe it's not the right thing for us long term because we've done the old tactic, the classic thing that people do. They keep their old owner-occupier property, turn it into a rental. But they thought, well, maybe this isn't the right rental property for us going forward. And so they thought, you know, keeping this expensive townhouse probably doesn't make sense, you know, worth almost $2 million. So what if we sell that and put the money into better performing assets? But here's the issue. They've still got a tenant in there with a fixed term. So they think, you know what? We'll sell this when the tenant leaves. Now, this was November 2021. Then what happened, Andrew?
Now, tenant's out. It comes to April 2022. House goes on the market, sells, but the market had dropped. So they actually only achieved $1.53 million for it. So they're feeling pretty disappointed with the result because it was less money than what they could have sold it for previously or sold it to themselves previously. But they decided, well, it's better just to stick to our strategy and use the cash to reinvest and let's just do better next time, which is great because sometimes we get caught up on what we could have had, even though we can't go back and get that, and think, oh, that never worked for us. That property investment thing was terrible.
Now, here is where the story starts to change. Tess then calls the accountant, probably quite sheepishly, thinking, oh God, we sold the property for less than we sold it to ourselves for. He chirps up. He's quite happy about all of this.
What a happy accountant.
Oh, I know, he makes a change. And the reason is this, because those losses, the difference between the purchase price or the price that they sold it to themselves at and the money that they received, that can help them pay less tax in the future. And when I started reading this email from Tess, I thought, oh, this is quite interesting.
Well, because remember, that was just a paper loss. They never actually lost that money. That was just a transfer of an asset to their own names. And then they lost money theoretically based on that value.
That's right. So there was about 110K difference in what they sold it to themselves for and the eventual sale price. And on top of that, there was 60K that they had to pay the real estate agent. So this means that on paper, there was about 170K worth of losses from where they sold it to themselves compared to where they sold it to somebody else. Now, under the bright line, that means that those losses can be carried forward. So rather, usually what happens in Brightline is you sell a property for more than you bought it for, and then you have to pay tax on that if you're caught under the Brightline. In this case, yep, They're selling within the Brightline period, but they made a loss. That means they can carry those losses forward and pay less tax in the future. Now, we're going to go through this in more detail just to really submit this, but walk us through, Andrew, how much less tax will they be able to pay, or what's the benefit by accumulating this 170K worth of losses?
Okay, so let's just firstly talk about how this works. So if you've got losses that are in your look-through company, next time your company makes a profit, so that can be either in rental income, or if you trigger Brightline next time and you make a profit, then those profits are not taxed, or the amount of the losses offset against the income before it's taxed. So if you've got 170K worth of losses, and let's assume you're on the 33% tax rate, that's 56,000 worth of tax that you would have paid that you're no longer going to have to pay. And the investor said, I feel like I've won a mini lotto ticket, which is a little bit right, because to be fair, again, this is just a paper loss that they've made. Yes, there's still debt in that look-through company, but that was debt that was going to be owner-occupied anyway. They could have transferred it for the lower amount if they were doing it today, and they never would have got these losses. So they have actually been better off. And they said here, I added this into your spreadsheet, Ed, and it helps our investment become positively geared for the next 6 years.
Amazing. And look, I realise that some of you are probably thinking, yeah, wait, just walk me through these numbers, because they sold for a loss. So how are they better off when they sold for a loss? Let's just walk through the two scenarios. So let's say that they didn't transfer entities. They didn't sell it to themselves, but they sold it at the same time that they did. So they held the rental property this time in their own names, didn't switch. Well, they still sell the house for 1.53 million because, of course, they had a tenant. They wanted that tenant to see out. They still sold in the same market. They sold for the same price. Now, in this case, there's no tax for them to pay under the Brightline because the house was likely purchased before the Brightline test was extended. So, sweet, they don't have to worry about Brightline. They walk away with their 1.53 minus their real estate changes. But in this scenario, they sold the house at the same time, but they did change entities. Well, they still walk away with the 1.53 million. You know, no matter whether they changed entities or not, they walk away with the same sale price. The only difference here is because they sold it to themselves at the higher amount, they also get the tax losses. And what's really important is what Andrew said before, that 1.6 that they sold it to themselves at, well, that doesn't actually matter because they were both the buyer and the seller. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It was just a purpose of changing legal entities, getting some more borrowing for it. The only difference is they walk away because they transferred the asset with 170K worth of tax benefits, and that's going to help them because they are doing an active strategy of the future. Now, I realise that some of you will say, well, why didn't they just sell at the peak of the market? Why don't they just sell at the peak? I don't understand this. Why don't they sell at the peak? Well, I've got two reasons, and they both start with T. Reason number one, tenant.
You love alliteration, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Number one is their tenant. They wanted to see out that 12-month fixed term period because they signed a contract to say, hey, Mr. Tenant, we'll let you go through. They couldn't foresee that the market was going to decline from November through to April this year. And that brings me on to my second reason, number two, which is time machine. They don't have a time machine. They can't go back. You know, it's very easy to look back. Why didn't you sell it this time? Well, why didn't you buy a property 20 years ago when it was much cheaper? You can't because you don't have a time machine. So tenant and time machine. But you might also ask yourself, wouldn't you have to borrow more money to buy the property off themselves?
Well, yes, absolutely. And that's kind of part of the reason people use look-through companies and transferring property in there. So again, use that example. It was worth a mil originally when they bought it. Now it's worth 1.6. They sell it on there. They transfer the equity, the extra 600K plus whatever they've paid off the mortgage into their new owner-occupied house. Well, they're still going to have that debt one way or another. The debt is either in the look-through company or the personal name. Now, in this case, there's some residual debt in the look-through company, but it was going to be on their owner-occupied anyway. If they had not transferred it, they would have had all that surplus and more.
And I think it's important just to note, well, what are the elements that made this work? Because this is, again, it's a bit of a quirk. It's not something I'd stumbled across before. And when I told you about it,
I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah, when I told you about it, I was like, oh, I've got a great one for you. You got all excited as well. Well, first of all, it is important that you don't just start selling your properties at a loss to get some taxable benefit. No. It's important that this works because they sold it to themselves. That's important. And in doing so, that reset the Brightline. That's really important because otherwise they likely wouldn't have been subject to Brightline. The second thing is they then sold the property at a loss to somebody else, and it's at a loss compared to what the new entity paid, compared to what they sold it to themselves as. And I think the third thing that makes this really important is they intend to use the company that they sold it to keep buying and selling houses. That's really important, because if they weren't buying and selling houses in that company, there would be no tax benefit, because under the ring fencing rules, you could only use those tax losses to offset future property investment profits. And if they weren't going to use that company, they were going to do it in some other entity, well, hey, you know what? Those losses would be ring-fenced, couldn't use them. So that's a third element. They're going to use that company to continue investing. And fourth is they're actually working with Ilsa from Opus Accelerate to cash flow hack existing properties that will likely have a large tax liability, both because it's cash flow positive, but because all of those existing properties, they won't be able to claim mortgage interest as a tax deduction. That's going to mean they're heavily taxed. So this will genuinely save them money. But a really important question you might be wondering is this legal?
So it is in this instance, because there's a genuine reason that someone made the transfer of their personal house to a look-through company. You can't just transfer things around for the pure plan of getting a tax benefit.
Oh.
I know, but the IRD will come down on you like a ton of bricks. So that's tax avoidance. You need to have a genuine, legitimate reason for it to be doing it. And you couldn't just sell the property for an inflated amount. So you couldn't say, oh, well, it's worth $2.5 million. No, and then sell it at a loss. You can't do
a
that.
A loss. Yeah,
you can't do that. You've got to use a genuine value and have a genuine reason to be doing this. And to be fair, the rules have changed a little bit now. They're probably aren't the same motivations to transfer properties to a look-through companies anymore.
But let me ask you this. We don't just come on here to tell interesting stories. Like, who could actually implement this today? Who could potentially, you know, somebody listening at home, who could potentially take advantage of this?
You kind of have to have already done it. So under the new rollover relief rules, I don't think you'll see the same level of these kind of things happening. But if you previously restructured before the interest deductibility rules came in, and you've got a property that you're going to sell in the next 12 months, 18 months, while the market's maybe a bit softer, you might have the opportunity here. So this is where go and get some tax advice from a proper property accountant and see whether or not, if you do sell at a loss, this qualifies for you.
And Tess, I just want to say thanks so much for sending this in.
It's a great one.
It's really interesting that even, like, we're still learning almost 3 years into this. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you want to build your property portfolio and expand in today's market, then you might like to come in for a portfolio planning session with our team. I tell you what, won't bore you with all the details, but if that's interesting, whip out your phone, send us a text. Text the word plan to 5522 and we'll be in touch to book that session, see if it's the right fit for you. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.